epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com.
Matt Scraby here with you in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be back for the Big Five. We have another game against the Diamondbacks tonight for the Padres. Dylan Cease against Brandon Pfaadt. And we'll get into that a little bit later. I had some news to share with you all from just Jeff Sanders on Twitter. Ryan Berger is currently throwing a bullpen that likely lines him up for a Friday return to the rotation. So that's good news. Again, Ryan Berger throwing a bullpen and likely lines him up for a Friday return to the rotation. So we get a little bit of clarity on Ryan Berger. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Yu Darvish is lining up at some point this weekend, maybe Saturday or Sunday. I'm not 100% sure. Let's see. He pitched on Monday, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's Saturday. It lines up for Saturday. See, my math is great, and I did it perfectly on the air. So that's a good thing. Also, something to keep an eye on. The Yankees have DFA'd DJ LeMahieu. So maybe someone that the Padres can bring in or at least take a look at, because he is he's not a terrible player whatsoever. He hit .266 so far this year and 128 at bats. His career is pretty good. He has a career batting average of .289, career OPS of .759. I mean, it's not going to jump out. These numbers that he has this year aren't going to jump out at you, but definitely something I think the Padres are going to kick the tires on, because if you could bring in a bat like that, you might not need to make as many trades. Say you get him in here in the next couple days, then you see what he's got up until the trade deadline, and if he's not what you need, then you know where you need to go with everything. So I definitely am going to be paying attention to that. But that's about it for the news today. Padres win last night, 1-0. Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis Jr., saving the game. And I'm not saying that to be dramatic. It's true. They saved the game. Jackson Merrill saved a 2-run home run earlier in the game, and Fernando saved a solo shot that would have been a solo shot by Josh Naylor late in the game after the Padres had already taken the lead. So that was pretty good stuff. All right, we're going to get to playing Padres trivia here. You're qualified. If you win, you will be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at Park MGM Las Vegas, two tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, and a $100 gas card. Catch Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM September 12th through October 3rd. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Now, I'm always constantly evolving this game, and there's been so many people that accuse me of selecting players based on popularity. That is not true. So now I'm just going to randomly generate a number, and that's how we're going to go forward. But you have to answer three Padres questions in a row. If you get it wrong, you're done. It's not like Chris versus the Fans in that way, where if you get it wrong and Chris gets it wrong, then you move on. You're just done if you don't know. So I'm going to generate right now. Line 4 is what it told me. Chris in San Marcos. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
How are you?
Good,
hey,
good.
Doing well. Just getting ready to just doing some errands, man.
Oh, I love it that you're listening while you're doing errands, because I hate errands. Errands are the worst. All right, Chris, let's get into question number 1. And that will be, who are the Padres closing out this first half against?
I don't even know, man. Some, no. It would make sense.
Good
yeah,
need
I've not even looked. I don't even know, dude. No.
All right, it's okay. It's all right. Thank you, Chris, for playing. Phillies. They're going to be playing the Phillies this weekend. And they're going to close out their first half against the Phillies. Last year, they closed out their first half against the Braves. I remember because I was there at that Sunday game when Chris Sale beat them. All right, thank you, Chris, for calling. I'm going to actually play the Chris vs. the Fans Beds Behind because I think we need a little bit of music here. Let's go to the next caller. Oh, it says line six. Leo. Hello, Leo.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Question number one. The team lead for most earned runs given up in a game is 9. Pitcher, I'm talking about. Who was that pitcher?
Dylan Cease in Sacramento.
Wow, you even got the Sacramento part correct. That is correct. Nice job, Leo. We go to question number two. Two players have hit 2 home runs in a game this season. Name both.
Gavin Sheets.
Okay.
And players. I'm going to go. I don't think it's Jake Cronenworth, but I'm going to go with Cronenworth.
Cronenworth. Leo, I'm sorry. Thank you for playing. It was Gavin Sheets. That was a good one. I didn't think anyone would have got Gavin Sheets. Gavin Sheets did it in Toronto, and Fernando Tatis Jr. did it against the Cubs earlier in the year. So thank you for playing, Leo. Unfortunately, this game is very unforgiving because you don't get any sort of breaks at all. There's no lifeline. There's no Chris line. Nothing like that. Let's go to our next contestant. Oh. Brandon, you came up on the random draw. Hello, Brandon.
What up, baby? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I know you're ready to play, so here we go. Two players have struck out 11 batters in a game this season. Name both.
About Cease and Pavetta.
Cease and Pavetta. Brandon, I'm sorry. Cease was definitely one of them. Michael King was the other. Michael King also had 11 strikeouts. I'm sorry, Brandon. Again, this game is very, very unforgiving. Let me go back to my random picker. Line 5. Cesar, you're up, man. It's been a long time. How are you?
What's going on, Gravy? A long time.
Yeah, not too much. Here we go. I know you know your Padres trivia, so we'll get right into it. And let me get something. Who has the most extra base hits this season for the Padres?
I'm going to go with... Ooh, Sheets.
Sheets. I'm sorry, Cesar. That is incorrect. Gavin Sheets is 3rd on the team. Manny Machado has the most extra base hits on the team right now with 36. I'm sorry, Cesar. We're going to have to say goodbye for now, but I appreciate you playing. All right, next contestant. Maybe this game is too hard. I don't know. Line 4, Chris, are you there?
Yes, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Question number 1. Let's see. Two players have driven in a team-leading 5 RBIs in a game this season. Name both.
Scraby, you're killing us this week. Two players. Abby Machado and Gavin Sheets.
You are correct! Nice job! It was Manny Machado and Gavin Sheets, so nice job guessing. That was awesome. All right, Chris, here we go. Question number 2. I think this is not an easy one, but I think this is a doable one. Who has been intentionally walked the most times this season for the Padres?
The most times this season? Fernando Tatis.
He's been intentionally walked 5 times this year. For all you people out there, you'll never guess the second one, but Xander Bogaerts has been intentionally walked 3 times this year. So that's a little bit interesting. All right, here we go for the final question. You get this right, and you are qualified for that trip to Las Vegas. All right, this one's really tough. If you're going to win a trip or qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, it's got to be tough. Padres team lead for sacrifice flies this season is 5. Who is that player?
Sacrifice flies. I will go with something out of the blue here. I'll go with Luis Iglesias.
Jose Iglesias,
yes.
I'm sorry, Chris. Xander Bogaerts is the answer to that one. I kind of felt like you were going to say Xander, but you didn't. I'm sorry about that. Again, this game is extremely unforgiving, and I have ran through a lot of players, so we're going to have to get some easier questions, maybe. Line 6, Janet in Carlsbad. Hello, Janet.
Hello, Matt.
Are you ready to play?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Question number 1. Let's do this. The internet is not loading. Internet's not loading. All right, who has the highest OPS on the team?
Oh my gosh, I'm frozen.
Give me a name, please.
Sheets.
Oh, I'm sorry, Janet. That is incorrect. Manny Machado has the highest OPS on the team. Again, I'm just going to keep saying this. Unforgiving game. Let's go to our next random generator so I don't get accused of anything. Line 4. Josh in Carmel Valley. Hello, Josh.
Hello.
You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Question number 1. I'm running out of great questions, to be honest. let's just go with this. There are 2 guys tied for the most hits on the Padres so far this year. Name both.
That'd be Manny and Luis Arraez.
That is correct. Nice job. All right, we go to question number 2. Who has struck out the most times this year? What was that?
Tatis,
I think. Tatis is... correct! You are moving on to question number 3. You get this right, and you are qualified for this trip to Las Vegas. Here is question number 3. Seriously. Oh, here we go. There are 2 guys that have been hit by the most pitches on the team this year. Name... I'm just going to have you name one of them because I'm way past my time.
Tatis. He gets it all the time.
No!
No?
It's not! I'm sorry, Josh. It is Jake Cronenworth and Jose Iglesias have both been hit by 5 pitches this year. That is kind of crazy, I gotta say. I gotta say that's kind of crazy. Thank you for playing, Josh. All right, we're gonna go 1 more, and then we're gonna have to call it a day. I need to make this easier for tomorrow. Let me get my next player. My next player is going to be... just lost the name. There it is. Oh, Rod. Hello, Rod.
No, this is the great Juan Cabrillo calling. Please give me a question. I feel that
okay. Here we go. Juan Cabrillo. Who has... this is a crazy question, but who has the most plate appearances this season?
Hold on 1 second. Mark Siegler! I see my way on the embarcadero.
Do you
ask
know?
Ask me the question one more time, please.
plate appearances. How who has the most?
I was quick to say, Mr. Luis Arise.
Mr. Luis Arise. I'm sorry, Juan Cabrillo. That is incorrect. Luis Arise missed a week, so he missed out at 20 at-bats. Fernando Tatis Jr. is number one at 391 at-bats. All right, I did my best. I gave it a go. Lots of callers. That is the game is hard. I'm not going to say that the game's easy by any stretch of the imagination. So tonight, I am going to go through, and I am going to find questions that are a little bit easier for people. Because, you know what, if you were asking me and I was on the other side of the phone, some of these questions I would have no idea the answer to. And I watch every single Padres game. So anybody who played, I appreciate you. If you're still on the phone, try to play tomorrow because we will have some easier questions. When we get back, we have some more Tori Lovello sound from this morning. And that's seeing if I had anything else I really wanted to talk about. But no, we'll play the Tori Lovello interview or parts of the interview from Bennett Woods this morning. And he actually talked about, they asked him about the incident with Ketel Marte and where a fan shouted something at Ketel Marte about his mother who passed. And Tori Lovello stepped up and defended him. And so I'm curious to see what the answer from him is about showing humility. That's next on 97.3 The Fan.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, Matt Scraby here right now. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be back for the Big Five in about 15 minutes or so. And on the Big Five video, there's a little bit of a special guest from Tony Gwynn Jr. So everybody stick around for that. And if you want to watch the video, you can go to YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan and you will be able to find it. Click the live button. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Matt Scraby. MattScraby, as in boy, Y. I just saw on the bottom of MLB Network that it popped up. Robert Suarez is named an all-star. So yesterday, at the end of the show, I was discussing the Padres and their bases-loaded woes and how they're basically not great when the bases are loaded. And so I was just looking at my notes and my sheet, and I wasn't able to look at the chat. And I missed the news. It came out like 5 minutes before the show ended, and I definitely would have said something, but that is just like, that is what happens. Like, normally, actually, let me say what actually happens. Normally, what happens is the news will come out 5 minutes after the show ends. So I got a gift of breaking news, and I didn't see it. So that is my fault. Sammy Lev delivered, though. He told you everything about it. And Sammy Lev is going to be taking over the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show here on 97.3 The Fan at 5:40. So you've heard me talk about it. Tori Lovello. It's Lovello, right? It's spelled Lovolo, but it's Lovello. And he was on with Ben and Woods this morning. If you want to hear the full interview, go to 97.3 The Fan SD or the Ben and Woods YouTube or the 97.3 The Fan YouTube, and you'll be able to find it there. But a couple weeks ago, a fan was ejected from a stadium for saying something to Ketel Marte, which upset Ketel Marte because his mother passed away, and it was the fan said something about his mom, and so that really upset him. And Tori Lovello was like, I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna sit here and hear that and not gonna say anything. So he turned around and he told the fan what's up. He said, you know, you're basically, in a nutshell, because there were some swear words, is like, you're a bad person, man. You can't be saying that stuff. Why are you saying that stuff? So he was on with Ben Woods this morning, and they asked him about showing humility as a manager, and here is what Tori said.
Yeah, I appreciate that. you know, my parents were unbelievable. They raised me with kindness and love in their hearts, and that's what I see. At the end of the day, we're all human beings. And I remember that every single day. I love being a baseball player. I love being the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's been a dream of mine, sitting in the seat that I'm sitting in. I'll never take that for granted. And when we put on a uniform, we sign up for certain things. You know, you sign up for those hecklers, those comments that are going to be made. And, you know, we live with it. We live with it. It would be great if I could, you know, go to somebody's office and scream at them for 45 minutes in their face and tell them that they're not doing a good job, right? But that's just not the nature of that type of a situation. And ours is, you know, we're exposed to some unbelievable fans and then some not so unbelievable fans. And when they cross that line, and there is a line, when they cross that line and it becomes too personal, that's when I've got to protect the boys. That's when I got to protect myself, the team, the organization, and say, this has gone too far. Clearly, Cattell, I've known Cattell for 9 years. He's an unbelievable young man. He lost his mom while we were in Chicago in 2017, and here this heckler is talking directly to Cattell about his mom, and I know Cattell's body language so well that I could tell that he heard it, and something triggered him, and I could tell that he was uncomfortable, and things just were not going well. So by the time I got out there and saw that he was in tears, that's where the dad part of me took over, and the protector took over, and I just wanted to hug him and tell him that I loved him, and he was going to be okay, and we're going to get through this. And it was just me being myself. It was me being my authentic self and just trying to support the boys like they were my own children, and that's how I consider them. I have 26 young men that I'm trying to raise to be great baseball players, but even better human beings.
That's a fantastic answer by Torey Lovello, Arizona Diamondbacks manager. That is a fantastic answer by him, and it shows you why the Arizona Diamondbacks have kept him as the manager of the team for as long as they have, because that's a guy that I want to play for. And it's very similar to how Mike Schilt handles the clubhouse, because Mike Schilt would have done the same exact thing that he did, Torey Lovello did, to defend Cattell Marte. Mike Schilt would do the same exact thing, and we've seen that a couple times this year. We haven't seen him actually like yell at fans or anything, but I think that Mike Schilt, if he would have heard something mean being said to one of his players, I know that he would have his players back. And you know, it is funny. He said he wishes he could go to someone else's job and just scream and yell at them for 45 minutes. Like, that is something that I fantasize about sometimes. Because he said it too. 99% of the people that listen to 97.3 The Fan and interact with 97.3 The Fan are great. There is 1% of people that really, really like to try and get me going. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But I would love to come stand behind someone, and when they mistype something, just be like, boo, you stink. That would be amazing. It would be amazing. But I get it. He said it too. I'm not at the major league level, but he said it too. Like, it's just part of the game, and you kind of have to just go with it. Although those comments about someone's mother who passed away, not okay in any sort of stretch of the imagination. You should never be saying that. I don't understand hecklers to begin with. I'm not one of those people, but I don't understand the heckler. Like, I was reading, this is something I do a lot. When I read articles, I go and I look at the random comments on these articles, and usually it's like local news. And so you get like the real opinion of people that actually live there. And sometimes these comments are just so, so bad. It's just like, wow, really? You really feel like you need to heckle people? One guy said, I don't go to baseball anymore because people won't let me heckle. You can't go to a baseball game because you can't heckle? I mean, I'm all for people doing what they want, except for saying mean things to anyone, not just baseball players, but anyone. All right. As I was on my soapbox, I went way too far in the segment. When we get back, Big Five, 97.3 The Fan, Grim Chris. All right. We're going to get into the Big Five here in just a second. Tony Gwynn Jr. rejoins me. As I said, there's going to be a special guest that is going to appear on the YouTube video. So stick around for that. I looked up at the TV in the break, and the Yankees and Mariners are playing. Yankees are up 3-0 in the top of the second. But their pitcher, the Yankees pitcher, has a landmine of a name for announcers. And I'm going to be as, I'm going to say this as slow as possible because you'll realize why it's a landmine. But Cam Schlittler is pitching for the Yankees. Cam Schlittler. That is a tough name, and I don't envy the Yankees announcers because that could easily be turned into another word. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what I'm talking about there. So I'm not going to say Cam Schlittler after this ever again. That's not true. What if he comes to town? Don't make promises you can't keep, Matt Scraby. Don't make promises you can't keep. All right. We have, during the Big Five, we're going to talk about the Padres and the quality starts that are thrown against them. We're also going to talk about the Cy Young voting, and the MLB.com put together a vote from some of their writers. So we'll talk about that. Micah Parsons. And then a German soccer club coach was very angry about grass. He was very angry about grass at the MetLife Stadium when they played there over the weekend. So we'll get into that as well. But first, let's go and get your traffic report.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, as you can all see on the YouTube, if you're not watching YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan when you go there. Tony's got his son Trey in the booth today. Awesome. Pretty awesome. Yeah, good to see you, Trey.
He's rolling around. He's going to be... He's already finished Shag, or he's about to go down in Shag in a little bit here. Have some fun.
Well, you'll probably do a lot better job than me, Trey, at shagging those balls because, you know, you have a little bit of a talent in your gene pool. But anyway, good to have Trey along.
About that. Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's get into it first. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples.
Number five.
Last night was the 41st time that the Padres had a quality start thrown against them. That is 45% of their games and third most in the majors. Only the Rockies and Royals have had more quality starts thrown against them. The Rockies have the worst record in baseball. The White Sox, the second worst. We know that. So, Tony, the Royals, or I'm sorry, I already said that. Big deal, little deal, or no deal that this is the 41st time they've had a quality start thrown against them.
Not a big deal because they don't match any of the other criteria of the teams that you named. I'm confused. You said the Rockies and Royals at one point, and then you said Rockies and White Sox.
You're right, I did. And that's I don't know why that is. I copy and pasted this from something, and I didn't really read it.
So is it all three of those teams?
No,
or is
all
it
they
just
listed
two?
Was the Rockies and the Royals have had more quality starts thrown against them. The Rockies have had 54, the Royals have had 42.
So where do the White Sox come in on this?
I don't know, just forget about them. Just forget
okay.
about them.
As you can tell, I don't know that it matters. I guess it all depends on what kind of starting pitching you have or the quality starts that your team is able to throw. I think given that the Padres are in a playoff spot right now and they don't look like any of the two teams you name. What's the Royals record right now off the top?
They're under 500 for sure.
They're under 500. Rockies, no need to
well
go
under
down
500.
That road. I don't know that there's any really, you know, thing you could compare it to other than that's just kind of how the year has gone. Padres have still managed to win what, seven games over 500 right now, despite those numbers you named. So I don't know that it's a big deal. I think obviously you'd like to separate yourself from that pack, but the fact that they're there and still fighting for a spot, I think it's less of a big deal.
The Royals are 45-48, and they're second place in the AL Central. I think it's a little deal, but I feel like every team, it's just different for every team. If you have good pitching and you win games 1-0, then it's not a big deal at all, because you know. It just ends up, if you end up with the win, that's all that really matters. And like you said, the Rockies are terrible, so I understand why they have had 54 quality starts thrown against them. The Royals are not doing well this year, and the Padres aren't in that same category, as you said. So.
Listen, the Padres have had their struggles offensively. I think it's pretty well documented, and I think that plays a part in it, but they're still finding ways to win games.
Number four.
The latest Cy Young voting by MLB.com is out, and in the AL, I think everybody knows it's Tarek Skubal of the Tigers. In the NL, they have Zach Wheeler first with 27 first-place votes, and then they have Paul Skeens with 19 votes. For Skeens, he is having a great year. He still leads the NL with a 1.94 ERA. He also has a 0.92 whip and has held opponents to a 186 average. Both numbers are second in the National League, only to Zach Wheeler. Pay no attention, though, some say, to his 4-7 record, but consider this. He's allowed more than one earned run just twice in 11 starts since mid-May. So, I'm up first. Should Paul Skeens' win-loss record be a part of the Cy Young vote? Let me start by saying I am not a Paul Skeens hater. I think that Paul Skeens is a good pitcher, and he seems to be a good guy. But I do think a win-loss record should mean something. I know that Jacob deGrom won it a couple years ago when he lost 10 games. But I do think that when you're on a team like the Pirates, it's hard to give someone an award like that when Zach Wheeler is doing this every 5 days for a team that is going to go to the playoffs. So I do think that win-loss record should be a part of it. Some don't, though. What do you think, Tony?
Jacob deGrom's year was like an exceptional year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there was a ton of conversation about should he win, should he not win, because of the, I think it was 8 wins he might have had, something along those lines. I think in terms of him going out and doing his job and trying to keep runs off the board, he's doing that. But I think as it pertains to that award, there has to be some type of, you know, record recognition.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that you could just solely go off numbers. I mean, Wheeler's going to be pitching in much different type of games come August and September than Paul Skeens is going to be pitching in. And I think that should matter for something. I'm not saying that the win-loss is a win, it is the end-all, be-all, because it's not, especially in today's game. But 4-7? Like, come on, dog. Like... You go. We need to. Do you have DeGrom's number from that number from that year?
Let me get
what
it.
What was that year that he won it?
We'll see. Real quick, because he is also
21.
I'm looking. Cy Young Award winner in. Oh, the internet is being really slow right now.
Of course it is.
Okay, so 2018 and 2019, but in 20.
I think it was it 18?
18, he was 10-9. 19, he was 11-8.
So, either way, he at least, at the very least, he had a winning record when it comes. Paul Skeens is 3 games under 500, and I went to one of those. I went to one of those losses.
Against
I saw it in person against the Cubs, and although he was nasty, they were ratatouilleing in some of his fastballs up into the seat. So, I think you got to at least have a winning record. Like, so if he's able to flip it, that would mean he's had to go on a nice little streak here of winning games. And then we have a different conversation. The DeGrom's years, by the way, were, like, extremely special. Like, they
yes.
were, like, historic years.
He had 1.70 ERA in 2018.
That's a different monster. Like, if he gets down there, okay, then we have a different conversation. But I think he's up in, like, the mid-twos, 2-2, 2-3. Which is excellent.
Yeah.
But not Jacob deGrom good.
he also pitched 217 innings that year. Jacob DeGrom, the workhorse. I hope Paul Skeens can get some wins, though, because he does pitch great games, and then they lose 1-0 all the time.
Number three.
The Kansas City Royals have signed former Cy Young Award winner Dallas Keuchel to a minor league contract, the team announced today. The 37-year-old left-hander will start at AAA Omaha and will earn a prorated $2 million salary if he reaches the big leagues. Keuchel has not pitched in the majors for nearly a full calendar year, and he elected to become a free agent last year in July after being designated for assignment by the Brewers. According to Jeff Passan, Keuchel scorched the radar gun after topping out at 92 miles an hour. So, Tony, does Dallas Keuchel make it to the big league team?
Royals?
Yes. Right? Yes, correct.
Yeah, I think he does end up getting up there. I don't know what their pitching situation is right now. He's throwing 92, which is hard for Keuchel. I mean, he wasn't throwing that when we last saw him. He was like 89, 90. And so he can do that. That's a couple MPHs. You know he knows how to pitch.
Yeah.
I think he's got a shot to get back up. Having not seen anything, I think he has a shot.
Do I think he has a shot? These are always really tough questions for me, because immediately I want to say no. Because
you don't watch enough baseball to know on this one.
So. Well, I watch more baseball than I've ever watched before.
Yeah, that may be true.
And a 37-year-old, all I can think about is when the Padres brought in Rich Hill and when they brought in Jake Arrieta, and I'm just like, these are just random stops at the end of their career. Dallas Keuchel did not pitch well for the Brewers last year, but I think the Royals, their pitching situation is a little dire. That's why they have him. So he'll probably make it up because of necessity. Necessity, Tony. Necessity.
Well, Number two.
The only reason why he would be coming up anyway, and he also got to remember he hasn't been pitching. His arm is probably fresh. He hadn't pitched in however many ways. Did he pitch last year for the Brewers?
July 18th, 2024 is when he was DFA'd by the Brewers, but he pitched for them last year, yes.
Okay, well, he's got some time off, so maybe he got a little freshness.
Maybe. Micah Parsons of the Cowboys is still waiting to get paid, and Jerry Jones is certainly taking his time with training camp coming up very, very soon. Micah Parsons may hold out of training camp, some say. And some say Parsons deserves Myles Garrett money, which, if you don't know, is a record-setting amount of money for his position. I'm up first. Do you think Micah Parsons gets Myles Garrett money? I was reading a Dallas article earlier today about this, and it was hilarious because they say Jerry Jones' strategy is let the market set itself first and then we'll pay you. And the guy was just going off about how that's the dumbest idea in the world because now you're overpaying all of your players because the market has been set so high. But in the end, I do think Micah Parsons is good enough for this, and I do think that Jerry Jones is going to give him big money because they need him, and they need him to be happy. Micah Parsons changes that defense, and if they don't have him, which we saw last year, they struggled. They struggled all year long, offensively, defensively, but Micah Parsons makes a huge, huge impact. So, Tony, do you think Micah Parsons gets Myles Garrett money?
No, I don't think he gets Myles Garrett's money. He's not Myles Garrett, with all due respect. Myles Garrett is a different kind of problem than Parsons is. I just think Parsons has yet to really show himself to be as versatile as a guy like Myles is garnering like three dudes. You know what I'm saying?
That's true,
like,
yeah.
That's why he got paid the big bucks when it was all said and done. And we know how Jerry plays this game here. I mean, he's going to wait and end up having he will overpay. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know that he's going to get to Myles Garrett's money. Because he's going to let this market set, as he says. And we saw his act with Dak. We saw this act with
CD.
Wide receiver CD last year. And, you know, this is just how he operates. And it doesn't look like he's willing to change.
I don't know that there's another fan base out there that dislikes their owner more than the Cowboys dislike Jerry Jones.
I don't know that there... Well, no, that's not true. I was about to say, I don't know that there's a fan base that has all of the evidence to dislike their... But that's not true. There's plenty of evidence for some of the other fan bases, too. But, no, this one is... I think there was a time where, obviously, Jerry was revered. I think he still is in some cases, but
yeah.
I definitely think that the fan base realizes that they're not going to ever win until Jerry decides to loosen the reins, which might be a while.
It might be a while, and then when Jerry's loosening the reins, his son takes over, so that's all great. All right, last one.
Number one.
I saw this and I was like, this is hilarious. The complaints about MetLife Stadium's field are unrelenting. The latest came from German soccer club, and I know I'm going to get crushed for this, Borussia Dortmund, after the team was eliminated by Real Madrid in the FIFA Club World Cup quarterfinals on Saturday. Manager Niko Kovac said after he lost 3-2, quote, "It's more the grass. It's more of a golf green, so you can putt here. It's very short, but this is not the grass we are used to playing on in the Bundesliga and also in the other two stadiums. As you saw, the watering wasn't good enough, I would say, because you don't have the devices for that. When it's too dry, it's unbelievable. It's sticking." So, Tony, you're up first. Is the grass condition a good excuse for a loss?
No. It's not, and who would have thought that maybe the grass settings in New York are a little bit different than the grass settings in Germany? You know what I'm just saying?
Yeah.
The climate is a little bit different, and so the grass is probably going to be a little bit different. Now, in terms of it not being watered enough, I wasn't there. I can't speak to that. Maybe there's a point there. I mean, how much research did he do? I mean, he said they didn't have the devices. Like, I don't know too many coaches.
Well,
are, like, walking.
I think he's talking about the fact that MetLife Stadium is a turf field and not like a real grass field. So they had to bring in real grass.
But they knew that.
I know that.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, that was part of the deal when this was happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to go out and, like, complain about it and after you took a loss. Now, it'd be different, maybe. You won the game. You come out and, like, if Real Madrid was doing this and won 3-2, it'd be like, all right.
Maybe there's something to it because they're still in it.
This seems like sour grapes.
It does. It does. I can imagine him just throwing his clipboard. We lost because of the grass. This is ridiculous. It's too short. I'm going to go take my putter outside right now and go putt.
Go putt.
I think I think another story off of this is that MetLife Stadium is cool to bring in grass for soccer, but they do not care about the NFL players that hate that stadium.
Yeah, they can't do that. We keep this grass all year round and have to take care of it? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Too much money.
Yeah, I'd rather just see a bunch of ACLs be torn.
This club a lot cheaper than keeping up this field.
It is a lot cheaper. All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, got 30 minutes to go. I'll set you up for Game 3 between the Padres and the Diamondbacks on 97.3 The Fan.